We're looking at Church 246, and basically that's just there's kind of a habit in the Every Nation world. We have Leadership 215, that's taken from Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15. So we have Leadership 215. We have Church 246, and it's taken from Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And you know, Acts chapter 2 is a powerful part in the history of God's people, of God's plans, of God's purposes. So you know, Jesus has come, he's lived his life, he's been faithful to God the Father, and he's died on the cross, and he's risen again from the dead, and, you know, he spends 40 days on earth with the disciples, and then he ascends into heaven, he sits at the right hand of God the Father, a human being, he now rules the universe on behalf of his people, and one of the first things he does is he says, he pours out his spirit, he gives his spirit, the spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of Jesus. Spirit of Jesus comes, is poured out on the day of Pentecost. God had organized, had strategically planned to bring people from 17 different nations into the city of Jerusalem, from all around the Roman Empire and beyond. They came to Jerusalem. Jerusalem's probably got 50,000 people in it normally. At the time of Pentecost, it's got 1 million people in it. What a perfect strategic time to pour out God's Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus poured out. That's why we talk about Pentecost. Powerful time. Something amazing happens in the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, Jesus keeps his most important promise. Is that his most important promise? Debatable, but it's one of the biggest ones, right? I will pour out my spirit. Wait in Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem and I will fill you with the Holy Spirit. I'll give you power from on high. And you'll be my witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Jesus keeps one of his most important promises in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit is poured out and the people of God, all of them are now kings and priests. A royal priesthood is made. See, what's so important about Pentecost and Acts chapter 2 is that only the kings in the Old Testament days, in the time of Israel, only the king and only the priests had the Holy Spirit poured out on them. Maybe some prophets as well, the Spirit will come on them, but it will come on and then move again, right? Move on. But what happens at Pentecost is that what was reserved for kings, what was reserved for high priests, is now available to everyone, every believer, everyone who pledges their faithfulness to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is now poured out, and the people of God, all of them, not just one or two, but all of them are now kings and priests. Where we, because of Acts chapter 2, because Jesus has kept his promise, we are now empowered by God himself to be his image bearers and presence carriers into a broken world to fix it. We are vessels. We individually and corporately, we are the new temple, right? The temple got destroyed in AD 70. The Romans came and destroyed it. We are now the temple. What's the purpose of a temple? The purpose of a temple is to display the glory of the God it represents. You right now, you, because of Acts chapter 2, because of Jesus keeping his promise, your purpose in life is now to display the glory of the God you represent. That's what temples do. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? Wow, I'm blowing my mind here. Acts chapter 2, Jesus keeps his most important promise. It's the birth of the church, the reconstituted people of God, no longer defined by ethnic boundaries, i.e. being Jewish, but now open up to the whole world, to anyone. Wow. It's the birth of the church. It's the reversal of Babel. Remember Babel, where the languages are diversified and no one can understand each other, where an act of rebellion leads to dispersal of languages, right? It's the reversal of Babel, where an act of obedience leads to languages unifying people. Wow. It's the birth of the church. It's the reversal of Babel. It's the beginning of the end. It's the last days, guys. In these last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. It's the beginning of the end, and it's the end of the beginning. Think about that. Wow. Ken, you're blowing. Too much, Ken, too much. All right. Humanity's rebellion. Okay, this is what's happening. So it's the end of the beginning. It's the beginning of the end. Humanity's rebellion broke all of creation. So I'm going all the way back to the garden, right? The Garden of Eden. Our rebellion broke creation. I mean, I say this pretty much every second week, right? Because it's a fundamental aspect of the way we see the world, of our worldview. Humanity's rebellion, Adam and Eve, we broke all of creation. And it was one human's obedience that put it back on the right track. That human who put it back, so one human broke it, Adam, another human fixed it, Jesus. So what do we see in Acts chapter 2? We see that the people who are faithful to Jesus are empowered by his Spirit to fix everything that has been broken. That's what happens in Acts chapter 2. The people who are faithful to Jesus, obedient to him, live for him, declare, confess that he is Lord, live a life that not only do they believe it, this was our whole great faith series, right? Not only do they believe it as an intellectual checkbox to tick, yes, I believe that Jesus is king, they believe it enough to actually live like that's reality. So it changes their priorities. Jesus' priorities become their priorities. Jesus' mission becomes their mission. Jesus' values become their values. Jesus' people becomes his people, becomes their people. The people who are faithful to Jesus are empowered by his Spirit to fix everything that has been broken. And what's been broken? Well, everything's been broken. Adam and Eve, they were really good at stuffing it all up. They broke relationship between us and God. In three dimensions, they broke relationship between us and God, between us and each other. You know, so from domestic violence all the way through to global conflict, it's because we broke creation. And even between us and the rest of the environment, pollution, animals eating each other, all that kind of stuff. You know, mosquitoes and flies used to be useful creatures, and now they're just annoying. But we broke it. So don't blame the mosquito next time. Blame humanity's rebellion against God. What's been broken? Everything. Everything. But primarily, think of it, everything's been broken relationally. Everything has been broken. Why is the world broken now? Why is there issues? Why is there poverty in the poor? Why is there all this kind of stuff going on? Why? Because relationships are broken. So, if fundamentally what is wrong with the world is our broken relationships, it makes sense that this newly empowered people, with God's heart, with God's mission, shows the world how things are meant to be. Does that make sense? So I'm just trying to create a logical argument. If it's all relationally broken, then it makes sense that God's empowered people to fix things show how relationships are meant to be. Is that right? Does that make sense? Right? Okay. Yeah, we're following if you can. All right, this is it. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 48. So they devoted themselves. This is the church. This is the first description of the activity of God's people, the church. So it's probably important, right? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued, this is verse 46, right? The important verse, Church 2:46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. So this is the first description of the activity of the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. It describes what's going on. First of all, it shows that there is instruction. Instruction is taking place. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You know, instruction is important, right? We've got to learn things. There's intimacy taking place. They are fellowshipping with one another. They are spending time with each other. So verse 42, they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. They're developing, they're growing in intimacy with one another. These are people, right, who are potentially from 17 different nations. The list of nations that are found in Acts chapter 2. So instruction, intimacy, initiation. So this is I just had to come up with an I word for communion. And so maybe it doesn't quite fit exactly, but it's pretty close. So initiation. So when you take communion, you're initiating yourself into the body of Christ, right? It's one of the sacraments. It's one of the things that defines what it means to be Christian, is that we take communion, Eucharist, together. So what happens? What is the Bible describing as the first activities of the church? Instruction. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Intimacy. They were spending time in fellowship with one another. Initiation. They were taking communion together. And next one. Intercession. And they devoted themselves to prayer. They prayed. This is the activity of the early church. This is what is described as what the church is doing. And I would argue this. The first description of the church's activities describe a family. So that's what a family does, right? I teach my kids. I teach them things. Obviously, I send them off to school, but I teach them a lot about who they are as individuals. I teach them about their identity, about who I am, who they are, my expectations of them. What does it mean to be a Johnston? You know, I instruct them. I develop intimacy with them. I spend time with them. My sons are getting into cricket. I'm out there playing cricket. And my shoulder is absolutely in incredible pain because I'm not as young as I used to be. But I try to bowl as fast as I used to. And so it is painful. If anyone wants to come and just give me like a therapeutic kind of remedial, you know, massage around here. But that's because I'm developing into me. I want to spend time with my sons. Initiation. Yeah, we have our own little traditions, right? Our own little things that separate us from other families. We do things separately, differently. There's a Johnston way of doing the dishes, which is let dad do it. So it's, you know, initiation. And intercession, we pray. We pray together. And my kids, they intercede to me and I intercede to God. So from this first description of the early church, which I argue describes a family, things happen. Signs and wonders. From this flowed miracles. Obviously, there's the explicit miracles of signs and wonders. And often when we read this passage, we focus on the signs and wonders. Oh, we've got to get back to the early church, to signs and wonders, and that's how we're going to see people saved. Well, I think signs and wonders are important, absolutely. But you know what? Some other miracles happened that aren't necessarily signs and wonders, what you would normally classify as miracles. What also happened is radical identification with each other and their needs. Radical identification. So what happened? That's a miracle. So these people, they've only just met a few days beforehand, and some people, what they're doing is they're saying, you know what, I have some property. The Jerusalem property market is skyrocketing. I'm going to cash in, and I'm going to take this bag of money, you know, because that's what you got back in the old days. You know, it was like physical silver and gold. I'm going to take this money, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to give it to the apostles, and they're going to disperse it to people who have need. Radical identification. It's not like you're another person. So I see you, and you are a member of my family, and I care for you just like I would care for you for like my own kids. And so if it's within my power, if I have the resources, what I'm going to do is I'm going to liquidate my assets to allow for cash to be given to you to meet a need that you have. Radical identification. That's a miracle, right? Would it be a miracle if Cedric came in here and said, you know what, Ken? You know, I noticed that you need some new shoes. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to sell my car. I'm going to get rid of that. I'm going to get rid of that thing. And you can buy a car. Oh, sorry, you can buy some shoes, some new shoes. And if there's any other needs in the church, then take whatever's left over. I don't know how much is going to be left over, but take whatever's left over and use that for other needs. Would that be a miracle, right? I mean, Cedric is absolutely, that would be a miracle. I would need God to appear in front of me himself to tell me to do that. but that's a miracle, right? So radical identification. And then, but more than that, radical inclusion, radical identification with each other. So miracles took place, signs and wonders, yes, but radical identification and radical inclusion. They just spent time together. They lived their lives together. They were intentional about spending time. They met at the temple courtyards, like centrally. There was one central place they all met, the temple, Jerusalem temple. It's still there. It would exist until AD 70. So this is like AD 33. So they would meet at the temple, and then that wasn't just the big group. They would meet in small groups as well. They would meet in each other's homes. They did life together, and they met around Jesus. What drew them together was Jesus, their conviction that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, the King who reigns and rules. And their allegiance is primarily to him. Their faithfulness is to him. And because they're faithful to him, that means they're also faithful to his people. Wow. So not only do we have a description of the church's first activities, we have a description of the results. What happened? There was increased worship. So they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. So there was increased worship. There was not only increased worship, there was increased influence. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all of the people. Not only was there increased worship and influence, there was increased impact. And God and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So, Acts chapter 2 is an important part of the Bible. Jesus keeps his promise, pours out his spirit. And in Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47, we have the description of what the first church did. The first church's activities. Instruction, intimacy, initiation or communion, and intercession. And then it leads to increased worship, increased influence, increased impact. But because of a family, they became a family. People who were strangers now, because of Jesus, were caring for each other, literally loving it, spending time with one another, spending time throughout the week. I wonder how far we've come. How far have we come from 2,000 years ago? How far have we drifted, perhaps? Maybe not us here at Every Nation Melbourne, because we're really, one of the things we're trying to really work on is intentional inclusion in each other's lives, right? You know, what Kieran and I do, we're trying to live what we preach in many ways. We have a barbecue every single Tuesday. Anyone is available, is welcome to come to it. No? I do chicken wings and sausages, and Kira's doing salads and stuff, and it's great. But we're doing it because, you know, it's more than, and it's not to do a Bible study necessarily. I mean, I'll talk about God if we want to talk about God, absolutely. I'll share different ideas and thoughts, but it's also just to spend time together. We've been doing that for over a year because we want to include people in our lives. And because we have hope of who we can be and who God's called us to be. And I think God is calling us. You know, worship is great in Every Nation Melbourne, but there's more. You know, we have influence in this church, in this city. We have influence. But you know what? There's more influence. There's more favor that God wants to give us. Not only is there more favor that God wants to give us, there's more fruit he wants to give us. Increased worship, increased influence, increased impact. If you think about this, going back to my initial premise, what is broken in the world? Relationships. What is the church empowered to fix? Relationships. What do we see as a description of the church's first activities? Radical relationship. You know, if you come to Every Nation Melbourne and you are not growing in relationship with people around in Every Nation Melbourne, something's wrong. You know, sometimes I wonder, and I'm not against big churches, I'm not against mega churches. In fact, Melbourne needs like 1,000 more mega churches, right? That's how many people live in Melbourne. We need 1,000 more churches the size of Hillsong or Planet Shakers. More. There's plenty of room. Sometimes Christians will go to a big church because it's easier to avoid relationship, right? No, I'm not saying everyone who goes to a big church does that. A lot of people go to a big church and they're plugged into a relationship. But sometimes the mentality can be, I will go to a big church to avoid relationship. And if that's what you're doing, if that's what people do, and you know what, that can happen in little churches too. That could happen right here in Every Nation Melbourne. Maybe you come here and you just, you know, you're trying to avoid relationship. Well, then you're actually missing the point of church. Don't take my word for it. Read Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. The world has broken relationship. Jesus empowers his people to show how we are meant to live in relationship. Radically. You know, so useful the word radical starts with R. Radical relationship. Radical, why? Because it's so different to what we see in the world. But actually, it's pretty normal the way God works. The way God works is radically relational, right? Gives us his son, Jesus becomes a human. The incarnation is radically relational, right? We can't expect to be anything less. If our God, and relationship can be uncomfortable, it can be painful. Often we've been hurt. Often our biggest hurts have been in relationships. Sometimes it's been in church relationships. Of course, I get that. I've been there. I've got the T-shirt. Been hurt in church relationships. I've got that T-shirt and the scars and the psychologist bills as well. I can show you the invoices, right? But does it mean I don't give up. I know what God has for us. All right. I'm much healthier now, guys. Much, much healthier. All right. So why am I talking about this? Why am I talking about Church 246? Well, what we're going to do in Every Nation Melbourne is we are going to launch a part of our church life called Church 246. We've got a thing called Church 246. And we're going to have Church 246 four times this year. And the first time we're going to have Church 246 is in April this year. So April the 14th is a Sunday. That's going to be our first ever Church 246. But I suppose I just wanted to show you the biblical foundation for why we're doing what we're doing. And that's why I've been preaching about it. But now I'm going to explain a little bit about the ins and outs of what we're doing and why we're doing it. So Church 246, what is Church 246? Well, basically, you know how in Acts chapter 2 they would meet at the temple and then they would meet in each other's homes? Well, that's kind of like what we're doing. There's a centralized version of our celebration service, but we're also going to have a decentralized version of our celebration service. We are going to be having four separate meetings across the city on April the 14th. In four districts that I've arbitrarily drawn on a map. I'll show you that map shortly. But there's four different districts of Melbourne, and if you live within one of those districts, and I strongly encourage you to go to the Church 246 location in that district. So it's our distributed or decentralized church event around different parts of Melbourne, and it's meant to look like Acts 2:46, hence the name Church 246. It's going to be food around. So the idea of food and fellowship. It's going to be communion, this idea of... So it's going to have all the things. It's going to have instruction. So depending on the size, it might just be like a Bible study type of instruction. If it's a bit larger, if there's the people in it that have the skill set, then we're going to have people just maybe do a short message as well. So there'll be instruction. There'll be intimacy, like fellowship, food, spending time with one another, answering, you know, just doing life together, right? Having fun, joking around with one another. We had a leaders barbecue last night, and it was, you know, we did this role play thing. Like, Derek busted out his acting abilities. Sitsi was sharing one of her stories that was, you know, of dealing with bureaucracy. It was incredible. And just everyone was laughing. I had a great time, you know. So that's what we're wanting to be doing. So instruction, with intimacy, initiation. It's going to be replacing our family feed for April. So whenever we have Church 246, we're not going to have a family feed that month, which family feed is when we have communion. So instead, you'll be having communion in someone's house, just like they did, the breaking of the bread, just like they did in Acts chapter 2. Having a meal together and then having communion as part of that meal. You know, they didn't give out plastic little cups and wafers in Acts chapter 2. They had a meal together because something about food that builds intimacy, that builds relationship. Because it's not just about doing the religious activity of taking communion, but it's about the purpose of being in relationship with one another, right? Around food. So there will be the initiation of the communion and also intercession, prayer for each other. And that's one of the great things that we do with Family Feed is that we have a time where we minister to each other. And we're going to be doing that in Church 246 as well. So it looks a lot like Acts 2:46 because it has the same objective. Our Church 246, why we're doing it, the objective behind it is to build relationship. It looks a lot like Acts 2:46 because it serves the same purpose. So what have we got here? What we read in Acts 2:46 is the seed of the church. We exist in Melbourne, and all of the Christians, Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, Oriental Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, doesn't matter. It all flows from Acts 2:46. A seed was planted that day. Those activities occur in all of those churches, all of the historic churches, all of the new modern, all of them come from Acts 2. A seed was planted. We're planting a seed too with our church 2:46. We are literally planting a seed. Each of our church 2:46 districts will be churches in their own right one day. That's what we're working towards. One that we believe to have a church in the east of Melbourne, a church in the north, in the west, obviously in the centre of Melbourne, where we are right now. Each of our church 2:46 districts will be churches in their own right. So we have this thing called the 2020 vision. The 2020 vision is simply this. Next year, sometime, we will start a once-a-month extension service in the southeast at Monash University. So to lead up to that, the East District will have Church 2:46. They'll get together. They'll be praying into that. And those guys who are there in the East 2:46, as they grow by the grace of God, will become an extension service once a month sometime next year. Could be right towards the end. Who knows? But this is what we're believing for. You know, because we're not just building a ministry in every nation, Melbourne. Building a movement. Building a movement that will plant churches and impact campuses, the next generation of leaders that will make a difference in this city from a room of this many people. That's what we're believing for. God can do it. Did I say that already? We're not just building a ministry, we're building a movement. Intergenerational, multicultural, deeply relational. Because that's what Jesus has done. So let's see what we've got here. Little picture. Here we go, guys. Just my little arbitrary kind of drawing. So central to north, that's divided by Bell Street. If you're north of Bell Street, yeah, over there. West, it's kind of like just along the Maribyrnong River, if you're on one side or the other. Like the actual boundaries, if you're kind of close to the boundaries, you guys can choose. Like, in fact, if you're in the east and you want to go all the way to the west, then that's up to you. We're not going to make you be in one area or the other, right? You know, we're not forcing you. You guys have the Holy Spirit. You are kings and priests. Absolutely. So you guys can make the choice. However, I do encourage, if you do live within the district, to be a part of that district's Church 2:46 when April 14 comes around. So we've come up with these districts. Oh, so I've got all this information. I'm actually going to, got a frequently asked questions, like a FAQ for 2:46. I'll put it up when I put up the podcast for this. You'll be able to download it, read it. All the information's in there. All the dates for the year. So April, June, is it April, May, June, August and October. That's when we're having these. So four times this year. And this is, you know what? I love how we can come all together like this. You know, and some people might be thinking, oh, you know, we're missing out on meeting up with everybody. This is my chance in the West to meet up with guys from the East. And, I'm sympathetic to that. I love these meetings too, right? But giving up four times a year to all meet together to plant a seed so that others can be a part of what we're doing, that we can see churches planted across the city of Melbourne. And so the East is huge, right? The East is absolutely massive. And, you know, when we do plant a church there one day, in fact, we need more than one. We probably need three churches in the East. Probably need three churches in the West, two in the North. And that's what we're believing for. So we have appointed district leaders, people who are leading the various districts. So for the West, we have Alan. Thank you, Alan, over there. If you want to talk to Alan more about the West, there he is. We have Daniel for the East. Thank you, Daniel. There he is. So relaxed. He's always relaxed. I love it. He's not worried. He goes, three churches, we can do 10. We'll do it easy. It's fine. Just don't worry about it. He's on it. And then for the North, we have Cedric. Come on now, Cedric. And Central is actually Kira, my wife. And she's my boss as well. That's awesome. These are the districts. And this is this is what's going to happen. We're going to do what the early church did. We're going to have instruction, Bible study, short talk. We're going to have intimacy. We're going to do food. We're going to do communion. We're going to be praying with each other. We're going to be planting a seed. We're going to be believing that this is a seed for what God wants to do. So there's more information. I'll put it up on when we put up the podcast. You can have the document. If you have any questions, feel free. If you have any concerns, then by all means, you can email me. You can give me a call. You can just stop me in the hallway and say, Ken, you know, I have questions. You know, I'm here to serve that way. So maybe Derek, just want to come up, and we're just kind of wrapping up now. Oh, no, sorry, not Derek. Jeffrey. He's... My other Malaysian wingman. You know, it's a lot easier to build, to focus on building ministry, just to build a big ministry. I could just focus as senior pastor. I could just be focusing. You know what? I'm just going to be focusing on the central district. I'm just going to focus on the central. And if you're coming from the west, then that's a bonus. If you're coming from the east, then that's a bonus. But if you decide to go to another church that's closer, that's fine. That's awesome. There's a lot of great churches out there. And I could just focus on just building in what's easy, what's comfortable for me. It's pretty audacious to be believing for God to impact a city. I'm not saying that we're going to achieve all these things overnight or next year. All we're doing, the plan that we have for next year is a once-a-month extension service in the east. And we're looking to bring in another pastor to help with that. That's what we're believing for. The planting of churches, I mean, that whatever time frame God has for that. You know, I would personally like each of those districts by the year 2026, 27, who knows? 2030, who knows what God can do? It's a lot easier to just build a ministry. There's less risk. But God's called us to be part of a movement, right? See what every nation is doing around the world. See what they're doing, what this movement that we're a part of is doing in Nepal. A whole church full of first-generation believers. First generation. They didn't inherit their belief from their parents. Their parents actively made it hard for them. That's what movements do. They go to a new place. They don't do what's easy. They do what's hard. Not bagging ministry, you know. This ministry versus movement thing. I'm not bagging just ministries. It's not what we're called to build, right? We're called to build a movement that impacts a city that can make a difference in the world. You know, I can look at the people who live in the southeast and think there's a lot of great churches that you guys can go to. You know, I could do that, but really, that's only a hypothetical academic exercise. I literally can't think that. What I think instead is I want to serve and encourage my spiritual family. And if there's members of my spiritual family that happen to be spread all across this city. Now, we're relatively unique as churches go in that we have people from the extreme west, extreme north, extreme east. That's, in fact, many people would call that a weakness, right? But God is great at turning what appears to be weaknesses into strengths. And the strength that God has for us is Church 246, seeds planted that will one day become churches. And how we're all spread across the city? Well, we'll have churches there one day. So I can't look at people who come from Pakenham and say, hey, stop driving past all those other good churches. Stop coming here. No, I say, well, we're going to do what we can do. We're going to take the appropriate stepping stones to plant a church. The first stepping stone is Church 246 on April the 14th, a seed planted. Just like a seed was planted in Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And if we do this, every nation in Melbourne, if we buy into this, if we build relationship and community here with each other, but also in these different districts. In the west, we build, you know, that's what our life groups do as well. In the west, building community. In the north, in the east, in the central. In the central, in the center. Building community. If we do this, then I believe we'll see what happened in Acts chapter 2. We'll see increased worship. More praises being dedicated to God from this city. Imagine even the media dedicating praise to God. Is that possible? Can God do that? Increase worship, increase influence, increase favor. Who wants more favor in their lives? Who wants more favor for this family of ours? I do. More impact. We can see increase worship, increase influence, increase family, increase impact. So that's why we're doing Church 246 on April the 14th. It's biblical. It plants a seed. And we're called to be faithful to a king who has a movement to make a difference in this city. Let me pray for us, pray into this, and then we'll get the guys just to lead us out in some worship. Lord, I thank you so much for a seed that was planted way back on the day of Pentecost when you were poured out, Holy Spirit, for the first time on all flesh. And that we have a record right now in Acts chapter 2 about the activities, the first activities of the church. Where there was instruction, where there was intimacy, where there was initiation, where there was intercession, God. And we are wanting to have exactly those things. Lord, because we want to see the increased worship, the increased influence, the increased impact that also occurred in Acts chapter 2. Lord, I thank you. You know, we are a church that is spread across all over this city. And God, some people can see that as a weakness, but God, I thank you that you are turning it around for us to be a strength. And Lord, that when we, on April 14, have our first Church 246, yeah, we'll make mistakes. Yeah, there's a process of us learning and kind of growing and trying some things and tweaking them and all that kind of stuff. But God, I thank you that our heart in doing this is your heart for your people. Relationship, radical identification with one another, radical inclusion in each other's lives, not just in the temple, but in each other's homes, breaking bread, having fellowship, praying for one another. Seeing our local communities in the west, in the north, in the center, in the east, being impacted by us demonstrating who you called us to be. Lord, you are good and you have good things for us individually. You have good things for us, every nation, Melbourne. We thank you. We love you. We pray that you would help us to buy into the movement you're calling us to be a part of. In your name we pray, Jesus.